What are gifts of healing? So today we're going to look at answering a couple of questions. One, how do we pray for the sick? And what is the specific gift of healing? How do we recognize it? Should I go to the doctor? How should we pray? But first, I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you even want to be healed? Now, this is what we usually say. So someone, you know, we've been praying for a while, and then they die, which happens quite a bit. We haven't had somebody die in a while, but it happens more often to most people. In fact, you know, what I always say, like, the death rate is like 100%. In fact, it's a little more than 100% if you count Lazarus, who died twice, and a couple others. When someone dies, what do we say? What do we usually say? The cliche thing. Well, they're in a better place. Exactly, they're in a better place. So if we say they're in a better place, and because, I mean, they are in a better place, they believe in Jesus Christ, they were gone forever with no sin and death and destruction and all of the other terrible D words about this world that we inhabit. Why in the world am I praying to live another minute instead of just being like, Lord, just take me home? I mean, you might even say, you know, well, I don't want them to suffer. Then you're praying for it, like, kind of like, I'm praying like, well, Lord God, you know, maybe you just need to old yeller me, you know, put me out of this world. You know, I don't want to commit suicide, but like, you know, old yeller, you know, I can go and I can be in a better place. Now, we don't often pray like that. And there are some good reasons why we don't pray like that, and there are some bad reasons why we don't pray like that. And the bad reason why we don't pray like that is because maybe we don't really believe there's something else. You know, maybe God is just our cosmic backup plan, be like, well, I'm just going to live however, and then I got this kind of faith thing. I go to church, you know, pretty regularly, at least, you know, once every month or two, except when something else is going on or there's a football game. And then, you know, so I'm going to pray. I want to live as long as I can. Now, that probably reveals something. You know, if we are getting sick and we can't think of, like, the goodness of maybe just going beyond, you know, maybe there's an issue there that's revealing something in our hearts. Now, secondly, there are some good reasons, maybe, that you're going to pray for healing. Yeah. There are people who depend on me. You know, if I died tomorrow, I mean, Kari would probably be fine, but maybe she'd be sad. Would you girls be sad? Yeah, you'd be sad. Okay, good. Putting them on the spot. Maybe you're praying, you know, Lord God, heal me because I have work to do for God. Like, there are people around the world who don't know Jesus Christ. Like, I need to be living my life for this purpose. You know, maybe we'd ask ourselves, like, you know, what would God's kingdom gain by keeping me around here? Is maybe something we should ask ourselves before we pray for healing. A fourth, I think intuitively we're arriving at this answer that to pray for healing. We're intuitively arriving at the right answer because we know deep down that there's something wrong with sickness and death. A sickness and death was not part of God's original design. We were designed, created, Adam and Eve to dwell in the Garden of Eden with God forever, eating from the tree of life with no sickness or death at all. Ultimately, sickness and death is a result of sin. Therefore, Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, we need to, as a church, we need to be about healing because healing is good thing. It is good to be whole as our bodies were designed to be. That is a good thing. And yet, now when we go to the doctor's office, I go to the doctor's office and I've got like, if I had a bleeding, I had a foot and it's bleeding and won't stop bleeding. And the doctor is like, okay, let's clean this up, bandage it all up really well, send me home. Now, he just treated me and that was good. But we don't think that doctor did a very good job if he didn't start asking me questions like, oh, maybe you have diabetes, which is why you just keep bleeding. Because we want the doctor to get to the root cause. And like the root cause of our human condition, our problems are not just because our bodies are disordered. The root cause of sickness and death, the root cause is sin and separation from God. And so we always want to look beyond the sickness as Christians to the most important thing, which is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to be presenting the world like we're about like healing here, you know, come get healed. Because there are people, we put up a sign, be like, come church, get healed. Or there are people who come and just, you know, want me to pray for healing them. But they want that, but they don't want the root cause. They don't want to address the fact that they need Jesus Christ in their lives. After all, if we could free the whole world from sickness, maybe even free the whole world from death, what would it be to live in this sinful world forever? It's something pretty closely approximating hell, I think. Without Jesus Christ, rule and reign, healing does not mean anything. So, what are gifts of healing? And gifts there is plural. It's a little curious. We'll talk about that a little bit later. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Okay, so prophecy took a whole sermon to define. Gifts of healing is pretty easy to define. It's when a Christian through prayer or words initiates God's miraculous work of healing, physically healing the body of another person. Now, it usually works, and when we pray, like, God, like, heal me, but the gift of healing usually works, and we see it in the Bible. Every time someone is healed in the Bible, it is through the work of another person, which is how the gifts work. I mean, you can pray, God, you know, keep me strong. You can pray that. But most often when people heal in the Bible, well, every time in the Bible, it's through one person healing another. And this is a way the gifts are always working to draw people together, that we need to rely on each other in the church in order to receive all that God has for us. All right, how can we take part in gifts of healing? Number one, how do we know we have this gift? And we talked about knowing how we have the gift before. And the gift is, we learn what gifts we have by doing all of the things that God commanded and seeing how God works. And so we are all called to pray for the sick. And so for everyone out here, you might think you might not have the gift of healing. All of this is relevant for you in order to pray for the sick. And I'm gonna teach you at least some sort of techniques exactly how to pray for the sick. And I think every one of us should do this. People who have gifts of healing are people in which when they pray are going to be more effective. So, how should we use this gift? Now, there are two opposite and equally problematic errors that people fall into when praying for the sick or working with healing. And the first I like to call functional deism. Now, deism is an old-fashioned term for people who believe that God, he kind of like God made the universe, he made it all, winded it up like a clock, and then it was like, see you later, hope things work out for you. It was sort of like the dad in, you know the song, A Boy Named Sue, Johnny Cash? It's like, yeah, like the dad in A Boy Named Sue would be like, oh, I gave you that name, okay, you'll work it out for yourself. That's like the God of deism. And then the second error is a kind of magic-infused paganism, and we'll talk about what that means. So first, the error of functional deism. Now, how often do you pray? And by the way, God, this is just an example of a bad prayer. Just don't, like, zappy zap, okay? How often we pray like this? Oh, Lord God, I pray that, you know, maybe you would heal such and such if it's according to your will, and you know, you're probably not, but if they go to the doctor, I pray you bless the doctor, and then you know, you just give them a couple of more days, and that's good. Thanks, God. Amen. Now, how often do you kind of pray like that? There's a big problem with the prayer. And the problem isn't actually the words, like you pray, your will be done, like that's totally fine, like it's in the prayer. The problem with the prayer is it has no expectancy for God's power to be revealed. And it's totally at odds with what we see in the Bible. We see, you know, Peter with the lame beggar. Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. There is an expectancy in healing, a belief in the supernatural that we too often lose and lose heart just because the last time we prayed, nothing happened. And we need to always keep in the front of our minds, we have the faith that God is the God of miracles, the same God that healed people in the pages of the Bible, that healed people in the amazing stories we read. It's the same God that is right here. And when we pray, Lord God, I beg you, heal my friend from cancer, we need to have the faith that God is the God that can do that. He has the power. He has the ability to heal all things. And when we pray, we should have that expectancy. Now, on the other side, and I fall into this too. I'll show you how I fall into this. So, I almost kind of did this today in the prayer. You know, I'm praying for my friend Kristen. We've been praying for her for a long time. And when I pray for her, like, my normal prayer is, like, turned up to, I don't know what my normal prayer is turned up to, like, 9. Like, it's like, turn it up to 11. Because I'm like, God, if I really, really pray here, or really wave my arms, or really, like, well up enough emotion, then you're going to hear me. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with the thinking of, I'm going to amp up my emotions and God is going to listen. Or I'm going to get as many people as possible to pray and God is going to listen. There's a problem with this thinking. Is that it's so much like, there's one place in the Bible where we see people getting really amped up in prayer. And they're not godly people. The prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. It's like, this thing isn't happening. Like, we need to get God's attention here. So they start like dancing around. They're cutting themselves. They're like waving their arms. And this thinking is missing something. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, and Paul has just explained in the book of Romans that we've been adopted by Jesus Christ in such a way that he loves and cares for us like children, like sons. That God loves each person who is in Christ so much that there is nothing we can do to get him to love us more. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? When we pray for healing, we're not praying to a God who doesn't care that we need to get the intention of. And that's sometimes like what we give the impression like, oh, you know, if we just pray enough, like we're going to get God's attention here. No, God's attention is totally on you in Jesus. You believe in Jesus Christ. His attention is on you. He loves you. His spirit dwells within you. He knows the intimate details. He knows you, and he loves you more than you care for yourselves. He loves Kristen, who we just prayed for. He loves her more than I love her. And so as we pray, we never lose sight of that. So we don't need to get God's attention. Like, God is paying attention. God hears our prayers. So how do we pray? Now, I kind of imagine this, like, healing in the church as a personal ministry that one does for another. Like, you're in a group, or you're just with someone else, and they're like, man, like, I name a sickness. I got cancer. Or I have some other, my back is like really, really hard. I can't move. And this is how I imagine it. You sit down with them and you do these four steps, and we're going to go through them. One, the first thing, if you're going to pray for healing for someone, is you need to listen. People don't always know what is wrong with them. Oh, people are not just like, we don't just have physical ailments, like our arm goes awry one day, but we are body, soul, and spirit. You go to doctors and they can treat your body, but a good doctor is going to listen because there's always more going on. And so if somebody comes and they're sick with something, you want to listen in order to know what's really going on, maybe get to the root of the issue, and, you know, hopefully as a Christian, to talk into their spiritual situation as well. Secondly, you want to discern what's really going on. And this can be difficult, and really this is something to be couched in prayer, being like, Lord, you know what's really going on here? Because there can be different causes of illness. Now, the first cause of sickness or illness is simply just the brokenness of the world. Like, the world is a difficult place, broken by sin, and a lot of the suffering we experience isn't due to ourselves, it isn't due directly to Satan, it is just due to the fact that this world is broken under the curse, and we are going to suffer, our bodies are going to break down and eventually die if we live long enough to see it. And yet, the Bible teaches this isn't the only cause of sin. Or the cause of sickness. Sorry, I skipped. The Bible does teach that sin can be a cause of sickness. Which is why when we listen to people, we want to hear their story. Because sometimes God will wake us up to our spiritual condition by afflicting our physical condition. We see this in the Bible in a bunch of places, but 1 Corinthians 11:29, talking about communion, and it says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, that is the body of Christ, the church, eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." Now, this can be very dangerous because people can, you know, someone's sick and you start like, oh, yeah, what thing? This is why I started with general, like, brokenness of the world, probably more often. And yet, for a Christian, every day is a good day to repent of your sins and believe the gospel. And so if you are sick, or if you're not sick, like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, Lord, if there is any unrighteous way in me, reveal it to me so I can repent and believe. But if you're sick, this is another reminder, like, yeah, maybe it's time for me to get right with God. After all, if I'm really sick, I might be meeting him face to face soon. And every day is a good day to repent of your sin and believe the gospel and know that in Jesus Christ you have forgiveness of sin and union with him. Third, there are causes of sickness which are emotional, due to anxiety, unforgiveness, and even stress. And so as you listen to someone, you know, maybe they need help with their kids, as well as prayer for healing. Fourth, as Christians, I don't think we should overlook demonic causes of illness. It's in the Bible. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute, like unable. The physical ailment was caused by the demonic. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. And so there can be demonic causes of illness. I'm not an expert in this, but I just pray and be aware. And if you think about this, you know, just come talk to me, okay? Before you just like go around talking to people, we'll just sort this out, okay? All right, moving on. Point five. Other times, people's lifestyles have caused illnesses. Now, if someone is like, man, I just need help sleeping. Like, I can't sleep. And as you're talking to them, they're drinking like their fourth thing of coffee, and you're just like, you know, maybe we're going to pray, but maybe you should consider cutting back on the four cans of Monster Energy drink before you go to bed at night. You know, maybe you should stop packing down the Red Bulls before, you know, there are physical, you know, maybe, this is my joke, Madonna knows it. I always like, whenever anyone is sick with anything, I'm always like, you know, you should try exercising more. Which is, I know, it's terrible. Now, often, someone, like, the root cause of their illness will just be unknown to us. Like, we're not going to know. But people who have gifts of healing are going to be perceptive to what's going on with people's bodies. And I think, you know, in some ways, Christians should reclaim some of this heritage. You know, it used to be you got sick, you went to the bishop because there was like nobody else to go to. And I think that there's been an explosion of sort of alternative healthcare practitioners out there don't ask me my opinions on them, especially if you're passionate about it. You can tell me, I'll just smile. But perhaps there are Christians that should stand in that gap, that should be praying for healing and listening to the whole counsel of God and biblically being like a biblical alternative healer, and there's space for that. And maybe it's a way that God is going to call us forward as a church. Okay, so listen, discern, and third, what we want to do is pray. Because we don't have power to do things, God has power to do things. And this is simple, is to pray for healing. Lord God, I pray specifically that you would heal them, heal their back, heal this. You may lay hands on people. We see people laying hands on. If you're going to lay hands on someone, ask permission. And especially if you're a man praying for a woman, like, just don't be an idiot, okay? Like, you know, be sensitive to people, all right? Okay, good. We haven't had a problem with that in this church, and I pray that we won't. Okay. Now, there is a kind of prayer, and we see it in the Bible quite a bit, where they pray, and we saw it in Peter. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. He's like, why don't we pray like that? You know, and I think we actually can pray like that. And now it seems kind of weird to pray like this command kind of prayer, but there's another prayer that we do every Sunday that's exactly like that. You know what it is? It's the benediction. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you. Lord give you peace. Now that's a prayer, but it's not really a prayer from me to God. It's kind of like God speaking there. And so that kind of prayer is a prayer of God. So I think you can pray like that. I really don't because it feels weird to me. But if you want to, it's in the Bible. You can totally do it. In every case, it's not like God is up there checking the grammar of our prayers. It's not like God is just be like, oh, they didn't pray like quite the right way. Or there wasn't like an adequate. God doesn't have a bar chart. Be like, oh, we haven't hit like the the number of prayers for me to really work here. God is sovereign and can do as he wills. And so either case, we present our desires to God and then in faith trust that he is going to give what is best. We don't need to manipulate God. We don't need to dance around. We need to trust that God knows best at the same time as believing unshakably in the supernatural for God to work. Now, the last thing we need to do is persevere. I always think about this story in Luke 13. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her. You can see the whole laying on hands thing here. And immediately she was made straight. And she glorified God. I wonder, how many times do you think she prayed for healing and others prayed for healing in 18 years? Many, many times. But at the 18th year, that's when healing came. So, how to pray for healing? We want to listen. We want to discern. We want to pray in faith and persevere. Now, there are two questions that people have, and we're going to go through them quickly. Two questions people have. You can probably guess them when we talk about healing. Number one is, should I go to the doctor? Number two is, why am I not being healed? So, quickly, one, medical science and healing. Interesting passage in James is where I always go. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So this isn't about healing, but it's about another kind of miracle. So someone comes to you and they need food. You know, does God feed people supernaturally? Yeah, he does. God can feed people. The whole book of Exodus is feeding supernaturally. And so could you pray for someone to get food supernaturally? Yeah, you totally could pray for someone. Like, you could do that. And yet, James says, if God has given you the food, you should give it. And so in the same way, like, God can use supernatural means or natural means to do the same kind of thing. God can use a doctor to do something that is good as well. And so I think, you know, you can go to the doctor. Maybe, just maybe, we want to think about going to the church and praying. Maybe somewhere along the lines of closer to first than like last resort. We like treat God like, well, everything else has failed, now I'll try God. Something seems a little wrong with that. Why am I not healed? Oh, the Bible is full of miracles. And, you know, why don't I see more? I want to see my friend Kristen be healed. Why don't I see, think about this, you know, my daughter, 12 days old, heart failure. Like, I prayed for her more earnestly than I prayed for anything else in my entire life, without a doubt. And I think we need to see a couple things. First of all, in the Bible, like, they're writing down the stories of people being healed. They don't write down the stories of people not being healed. Although, there are cases where we see that. And Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. And so this guy was ill. Apparently, Paul didn't heal him. He just left him there to recuperate because he needed some rest. Now, that's a possibility. Timothy, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Now, water could be polluted in those days, and one way to prevent getting sick from the water was to use wine mixed in to purify it. And so Paul doesn't be like, okay, we'll just pray over the water, make it safe, or pray that you don't get sick from that. Like, no, you can use this as medicine. It's totally fine. Now, I think this is kind of why we get the weird sort of gifts of healing. Because gifts of healing implies a limited number. But the fact is, if we live in this life long enough, something is going to kill us. We're going to die from something. Like, God has not ordained in this time to keep us around here forever. And so when we get a blessing of a healing, a gift of healing, like, it's a good thing, but it's not a promise for every time in every situation. So, summary of everything we've learned. Healing is good, but Christ is better. Pray for gifts of healing. Like, healing is a good thing, but not the best thing, but pray for it. As we pray, we want to listen, discern, pray, and persevere. Doctors are okay, most of them. There are probably some bad doctors, but most of all, as we pray, we remember, especially in times when we are not seeing the healing that we're praying for, God is always for you in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ, He is for you. Do not take your present circumstances as evidence of what will be. Just like Jesus on the cross, like, He was suffering there, that did not mean that He was headed to a bad place, but He was headed to the most glorious place. If God is for you, who can be against you? Can cancer or heart disease, can COVID or pneumonia, can any of these stand against us forever? No, not one of them can stand against us. Yes, we may suffer for a season, but God will never forsake His children. He will never abandon them. So, church, let's look to Christ. Let's pray for healing expectantly. Let's see who has these gifts. And in everything, know that He who gave us life will give us the blessings we need to do our work until He calls us home. In Jesus' name, amen.